The church say amen. Amen. It is good for us to be here. We have gathered to fellowship one with another. I will be speaking on the topic, why must Christians train? Why do we have to go through training? But before we do that, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most holy and precious Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for all the things that you have done for us. We want to thank you for your Son who died and bled on the cross so that we may have a chance at the tree of life. We want to thank you for waking us up this morning. We want to thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of health and strength. We petition you, Lord, to watch over those who are sick and afflicted amongst us. Build them up where they are torn down, strengthen them where they are weak. We know that you are the great physician, that you can heal all if you so wish to. So we petition you, Lord, if it be your will, to do so. We want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We want to thank you for allowing us to be on the time side of life. In Jesus' name, let us together say, amen. Amen. Training. What is training? Training is the process of bringing a person to an agreed standard of proficiency by practice and instruction. Now, athletes train. You see distance runners. Have you ever seen someone try to run a marathon without training for it? There are people who have tried, and they are people who have failed. Even some people who have trained to run that marathon don't make it to the end. How many boxers do you see get into a boxing ring and they have not trained to box? If you get into a boxing ring with the improper training, you are likely to get knocked out. The same thing is with Christians. We are in a boxing match. We are going up against the adversary known as the devil. And if you are not properly prepared to face him, he will give you the knockout blow. So, the two scriptures that were read into your hearing by Brother Smith. Psalms 51 and 13 says the following: Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. How are you going to be able to do that if you have not trained yourself in the word of the Lord? How can you possibly teach it to somebody else? Now, some of you I know out there have children, have grandchildren, and they come to you with their homework sometime. And they say, I got this math problem. And it's a simple problem, you know, it's just a quadratic equation. And you look at it, and you go, well, I don't think I can help you. Why? They said, I don't have the proper training to help you solve this problem. Therefore, we must have the proper training. Luke 6 and 40 said the following: A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. This is the master talking. The master is saying, you won't be greater than me, but you can have knowledge that is what? Equal to what I have. So that you can do what? Go and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. Christ did not send his disciples out without training. He did what? He taught them first what they were supposed to know. And then he sent them out in what? Twos. So that they can go what? Proclaim the word of the Lord. Well, when did this happen? Well, let's look back at Matthew 4 and 19, and it says the following: Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Christ has called us. We are to be what? Fishers of the lost. How can you? Now, let's take a look at the fishermen for a moment. Brother Hall, you fish, right? Did you just take a pole and throw it into the water and hope something happened? No, you got what? Instruction, training on how it's supposed to be done. Well, these fishermen that Christ was calling, and they were fishermen. That was their occupation. That's what Peter used to do. That's what John and James used to do. They were what? Fishermen. And they worked hard at their craft. They found the proper spots where to fish. They trained themselves to fish properly so that they can get a what? Good catch. Well, Christ is now calling them, saying, I'll make you fishers of men. And I'm going to teach you how to get a proper catch. And why is this? Well, we need to talk about the harvest then. Let's go to Matthew 9, 37 and 38. And it says the following. Then he said to his disciples, notice he's talking to his disciples. The harvest is truly what? Plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. But notice, Christ did not send these laborers out without what? Training. He sent them out, and they knew what they were supposed to say. He said, he told them to be what? Wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And we also see in Acts 15, 3 through 4. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported all things that God had done with them. Christians must train to harvest the field of lost souls properly. Notice in this verse, Acts 15, 3 and 4, they reported about the conversion of who? The Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas had gone out and they were preaching to who? To the Gentiles, right? Peter had gone out and he preached to Cornelius, who was what? A Gentile. They were properly prepared to do so. Paul, as you well know, wrote what? Half of the New Testament. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a man who was taught by the best. So he knew the law. But he was ignorant of certain things. And he had to be properly trained. So when was he properly trained? On the road to Damascus, he met the master. And the master trained Paul. He didn't just send Paul out there and say, go out there and teach something. That's not what he did. The master personally taught. So Christians must train to harvest the field of lost souls properly. We may have to employ different methods to do so, to reach the lost. It could be as simple as placing a pamphlet on the bus or holding a Bible study for the lost. There are plenty of lost souls out there, but the workers are few. So Christians must work to increase the supply of what? Workers. You go out and save a lost soul. That lost soul becomes a believer, baptized into the faith. Now they're a Christian and they can go out into the harvest. Why should we do this? What is the purpose? Don't worry, I won't keep you long. But Paul preached until midnight. But I promise you I won't do that. What is the value of a lost soul? Can we put a value on a lost soul? Well, yes, we can. Everybody going, what? You can put a monetary value? I didn't say monetary value. But let's look at Matthew 18, 12 through 14 and see what it says. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? I got 100 sheep penned up. One of them escapes. The other 99 are fine. Should I not go out and find the one that is lost? Verse 13, and if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. We Christians are responsible for raising our children up in the way they should go. But you as a Christian, when you first start, you are what? A babe in Christ. You're one of the little ones, right? So they're not just talking about little ones in terms of age. They're talking about little ones in terms of their belief in Christ. So God is saying, the Heavenly Father is saying, I don't want any of the little ones of prayers. So if we should have someone in our congregation who goes astray, we are supposed to go back what? And find them and try to gently bring them back to the fold. God wants all men and women to repent. All souls are precious in the sight of God. But God gives everyone the free will to accept or reject the word. That's up to you, each individual. You can accept Christ or you can reject Christ. But you have to be trained. So how do we get trained? Well, let's go over to 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. Let's see what it says. It says, but reject profane and old wise tales and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for what? All things. Having promise of the life that is now, is, and of that which is to come. Notice, training is profitable for what? All things. Godliness is profitable for all things. How are you going to get godliness? You got to learn more about what thus saith the Lord. And not just learning, because James said, faith without works is dead. So it's not just enough to learn it, you got to put it into practice. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 16 says the following. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He said, let nobody despise your youth. You know the word of God. Go out and do what? He says, command and teach. Notice what he says. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Notice, give attention to what? Reading, exhorting the word, and proper what? Doctrine, proper teaching. So he says to Timothy, you got to read the word. Reading and writing are two of the tools of preparation. You need to know how to read and write. Now you might say, well, what do you mean? Well, everybody couldn't read and write in those days and times. Notice in some of the epistles that Paul wrote, he writes at the end, and read this letter to all of the what? Church. Also, everybody could not afford to have Old Testament scriptures written down for them. The eunuch, remember the eunuch over there in Acts 8? He was reading what? Isaiah. He had his own copy of Isaiah. But the eunuch was wealthy enough to do that. Why? Because he was the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. Candace was her name. He had his own copy. And what did Philip do? Philip took where he was reading and preached to him Christ. Notice in verse 14 of 1 Timothy 4, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So, as we study, as we train, our progress will be what? Evident to all. Verse 16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice, he says, continue in them. Continue in what? Continue in reading. Continue in exhortation. Continue in doctrine. Continuing in practicing the faith. Why? Because that way you save yourself and those who hear you. And of course, as everybody knows, one of my favorite verses, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why else you got to train and study. Part of training is studying, what thus saith the Lord. Now, I'll give you an example. Most of you have heard of a man called Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was not only a great martial artist, but he also was a firm practitioner of learning about human anatomy. He not only trained in martial arts, he trained in human anatomy. Why? Because he said, training in human anatomy allowed me to know where the weak points in the body were and made me a more effective martial artist. The same with the Christian. Studying God's word gives you the tools necessary for you to take on the adversary, the devil, and to bring others to Christ. Why do we have to train? Proverbs 22 and 6 says the following. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We have to begin training the children. Now, sometimes my mother and father, they trained us since we were infants. I got into college and I just, you know, stepped away for a while. Didn't go to church like I was supposed to. Got involved in things I shouldn't have gotten involved in. But mom and daddy wasn't there to watch me. So I broke free. Married my wife. Got married in the church, you know. Everything. And one day my wife looked at me and said, you know, we got children now. She said, we should be back in the Lord's house. And I said, yeah, you're right. We should be back. And so now we're back. That's because of the training my parents gave me when I was a child. Came back. Also, Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. This is why we must train, so that we can find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. How can you get answers to somebody's question if you have not studied? Let's go back to the math problem, that quadratic equation that your child brought to you. If you knew something about that, you could help that child. If you know something about God's word, you could help someone else. Many times I hear people go, a penny saved is a penny earned. And I look at them and said, who said that? Said, that's in the Bible. And I look at them and I say, I don't know which Bible you're talking about, but I know it's not the one I read. I said, I do remember Benjamin Franklin saying something like that. People mix up a lot of things that they think are in the Bible, and they're not. Why? Because they have not chosen to pick up the Bible, read it, and train themselves on what thus saith the Lord. How many times have you gone to a house and seen a Bible on the table, come back to that same house and the Bible's still on the same page? That's because it's just a centerpiece, just something that looks good. Bible isn't there to just look good. It's there for us to use. Why? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says the following. Let all things be done decently and what? In order. Christians must study and train to be ready to give an answer to questions that are posed to them when people see the hope within them. If you are a Christian and you are walking the Christian walk, people will notice. And they're going to come up to you and have some questions. And they're going to ask you some things. And you want to be able to give them what? An answer. Sometimes people say, well, I don't understand everything that's in the Bible. That's why we have Bible study. That's why you can go to the minister or to the elders. And if they don't have the answer, they're going to find the answer one way or the other. If they have to go to others and say, what do you think about this? We will find the answer to the question. Because we want to be able to give that answer to you to continue the hope that's within you. Christians train and study to gain more knowledge of Christ. Thereby our light will shine brighter. Training makes sure that all actions are done in accordance with the will of God. We don't want to do anything that's not in accordance with the will of God. Brother Smith talked about it. He talked about the traditions of men versus the doctrine of God. We don't want to fall into the traditions of men. We want to do what thus saith the Lord. I leave you with this quote from Queen Elizabeth II. A lot of people say, well, Brother Burnside, why do you use these quotes and stuff? Wisdom can be found in many places. She said the following, it's all to do with the training. You can do a lot if you're properly trained. Now, people might say, well, she's just a queen of England. But what a lot of people don't know or don't choose to know is that during World War II, Queen Elizabeth was an ambulance driver and a mechanic. She worked on trucks to get them back into repair. She drove ambulances during the London Blitz. That is what endears her to the people to this day, is that she got down off the royal throne and did the work that was necessary and served the people. We as Christians must do the same. We are here to serve one another and to seek the lost. So I leave you with the invitation. First, you must hear the word. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is why we have ministers, evangelists, preachers, and each and every one of you. So people, the lost, can hear the word of God. Then you have to believe. Acts 16, 30 and 31. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That is what they told the Philippian jailer. In Acts 2 and 38, we have to repent. Peter was bold. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he told them the following. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye yourself receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have to repent. What does repent mean? It means to change your way. Do a 180 from what you're doing. Notice I said a 180, not a 360. 360 just puts you right back where you were. But you need a 180. You got to turn away from where you were. Then you got to confess. Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you got to confess what? That Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your soul. Then you got to go into the watery grave of baptism. Notice I said the watery grave of baptism. I didn't say sprinkle. I didn't say pour water on you. The watery grave of baptism. You must be immersed. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And then you have to continue in the faith. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You have heard the invitation. Now is the time, now is the hour, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.